Barbarian tribes of Rome, the Celts, Celtic religion. Now, one of the most celebrated aspects of Celtic culture today is its religion. There appears to have been a countless number of gods to whom the ancient Celts paid homage to, and some of them managed to stay firmly entrenched in the Celtic way of life despite the influence of Roman culture and later Christianity. However, as is the case with most of what we know about the Celtic culture, their religion is particularly surrounded in mystery. The main reason for this is that the Celts did not write anything down, most likely because they were illiterate. Because of this, we have no primary sources that can confirm or deny the stories we now tell about the Celtic gods. Instead, we need to rely on what is left to us by the Romans, which is obviously biased towards a Roman perspective, as well as the stories told by the Irish. This is because Irish mythology draws heavily on its Celtic heritage, and while this helps produce a more coherent picture of some of the basic tenets of Celtic religion, it would not be wise for us to take this as an active representation of religious beliefs practiced throughout the entire Celtic world. Nevertheless, by piecing together the sources we do have, and we can put together an image of Celtic religion that helps us to understand at least a little bit more about what these ancient people believed and how they saw the world. Though we must accept that whatever we come up with is and always will be incomplete. Now, as far as the aspects of Celtic religion, we know that the ancient Celts practiced polytheism, paganism. This means they worship many different gods, and they believe these gods were somehow connected or related to one another. This type of religious belief was common in the ancient world, although by the time the Romans rose to power, this was about to change to Christianity, which would soon become the dominant religion around most of Europe. But that is really late in the time period that we're looking at. We also know that the Celts practiced their religion in temples and other religious buildings, as well as natural areas that they considered to be sacred, such as groves. The former we know due to archaeological evidence, whereas the latter idea comes from the Roman texts. These ancient groves, for obvious reasons, do not exist today. For some time, historians believe the famous monument of Stonehenge was a place of worship for ancient Celts, but carbon dating shows that the stones were first placed in their current location 1,000 years before the Celts occupied Britain. Meaning this theory cannot be true and that Stonehenge is not connected to the Celtic religion. Religious practices, according to the Romans, were carried out by a priestly class that we now refer to as the Druids. These individuals are thought to have been the only members of the ancient Celtic society that were educated in any way, and they were responsible for directing the ancient Celts in their religion. In addition, there are many stories of Druids traveling with Celtic armies to provide spiritual guidance to the warriors and ward off bad spirits. This ancient Druid class has become the center of much lore. But in reality, due to the fact that the Celts wrote nothing down, we know very little about who these people were and actually what they did. Furthermore, we can be very fairly confident that the Celts practiced some form of human sacrifice, a rite which would have been carried out by the Druids. According to records that are left by the Romans, this was a frequent practice. Another rather gruesome aspect of Celtic religion was the practice of head hunting. It is thought that the ancient Celts considered the head to be the most important part of the human body, and that it was the part that carried the soul. Evidence has been found of soul skulls inside of Celtic shelters, which has given rise to the theory that owning the skull of someone important was a way of ensuring their soul remained present with the person at all times, although this theory is impossible to verify without more written records from the Celts or a time machine. The Celts also made regular votive offerings, which consisted of burying artifacts of importance in the ground to leave for the gods. Most often, the Celts buried items having to do with warfare, which can be taken as a sign that the ancient Celts saw their fate in war as being closely tied to the will of the gods. However, there is also evidence of the Celts leaving other items not related to war, such as jewelry and pottery. Interestingly, the items buried and left for the gods were frequently expensive items, which helps point to the significance of the gods most likely had within the ancient Celtic culture. If you're going to worship the gods, you're not going to cheat them with minor goods. You want to go all out if you're expecting to get real help. One of the things that remains a mystery to today's Celtic scholars is whether or not the Celtic religion was practiced in a uniform manner across many different tribes that existed throughout Central Europe and Britain. Roman records, as well as archaeological evidence, suggest there were hundreds of gods being worshipped by the Celtic people of Europe. Under normal circumstances, we might take this as a sign that religion was far more cult-based, meaning that each tribe or clan worshipped a different deity. But there are some examples of continuity that make this a bit more difficult to determine. For example, the Mothras, Latin for mother, are a group of three graces who appear to have been worshipped in Britain, Gaul, and northern Italy. The idea was these goddesses were responsible for determining the destiny of men and women on earth. This was a popular concept in pre-Christian European religions, and it may have had its origins in Norse mythology. However, the votive offerings discovered at different Celtic sites across Europe suggest that the Celts developed their own version of this group of goddesses and continued to worship it even as their culture spread around Europe and changed. It's important to note, however, that there are considerable differences amongst the different depictions of the Mothras in Celtic culture. For example, another example of a common god is the horned god, which is often referred to as Cernunnos. It's believed that this god was responsible for life, fertility, and animals, and also the underworld. Of course, many different variations of this god exist depending on which Celtic culture we look at, but he is typically depicted sitting down and surrounded by animals. Examples of this god can be found in the cultures all across Gaul, as well as on Iberian Peninsula and in Britain. The god Lugus, more famously associated with the Irish deity Lug, is also an example of a pan-Celtic god, and his role in history has become even greater, largely because of his role in Irish mythology. Generally speaking, Lugus is associated with being the god who grants kings the right to rule. He is most often depicted as a warrior, a king, and an artist, and he's also said to be the keeper of the truth, and the one responsible for executing the law. When the Romans began their conquest of Gaul and Britain, they associated Lugus with their god Mercury, who is one of the most significant gods in Roman mythology. Tyrannus is believed to be the Celtic god of thunder. Evidence exists that he was worshipped in part of Britain, Ireland, and Gaul. Galicia, modern-day northwest part of Spain, and the territory surrounding the Rhine River in Germany. It's believed that Tyrannus ruled over the human world together with Isis and Tutanus. We do not know for sure the role of Isis, but it's believed that Tutanus was considered to be the protector of tribes. Human sacrifices were often made to this combination of gods. Yet while evidence of Tyrannus is found in many parts of the Celtic world, his association with the other two gods of this triad is typically only found in Gaul. The last significant god that we can confidently say was worshipped by multiple Celtic tribes is Epona. She was almost always depicted riding a horse, and it's believed she was associated with fertility. Some theories also suggest that the ancient Celts believed she was the one responsible for leading souls into the afterlife, although the conjecture has been made mostly by interpreting reliefs. Depictions of Epona are found in Celtic sites in Britain, Rome, and Bulgaria, giving her considerably more geographic reach than many of the other common Celtic gods. Well, then we got the Irish. Now, when the Romans conquered Gaul and Britain, they came across countless versions of Celtic religion, and as was typical of this time, they associated these gods with their own. This gives the impression that Celtic mythology was a unified religious practice, but this is probably not the case. Instead, it's more likely that the religious cults developed in each area the Celts called home, although because of the Celts' shared ancestry and language, some similarities do exist, such as the deities discussed previously. Today, we understand Celtic religion through Irish mythology, and while that's incorrect to assume this is an accurate representation of ancient Celtic religion, it's important to at least look at it because it provides us with some context for what ancient Celtic religion might have been like. The Irish mythologists who kept their stories alive through an oral tradition put Irish mythology in the writing when Christianity began spreading throughout the island in the 5th and 6th centuries AD. This provides us with the best possible glimpse we could get of at least one version of Celtic mythology might have looked like. But many of those who were writing these stories down were in fact Christian monks. It's entirely possible that they warped the stories to make it easier for them to be synthesized with Christian ideas, which would have made it easier for the monks to convert the non-Christian Irish. However, even knowing that these stories are likely incomplete, it's still important to at least understand them, as this gives us the best look at what religion was like in Britain, largely Celtic territory, before the Romans arrived. And because the Celts in Britain most likely migrated from other parts of Europe, it's possible these religious texts could unlock more secrets of Celtic religion, although we need to be careful about jumping to too many conclusions. Irish gods. Generally speaking, in Irish mythology, the gods and goddesses were seen as the ancestors of the people, and they were connected to the land and water. Many of the deities were female, and it's believed that the ancient Irish Celts saw these deities as maternal figures who were responsible for caring for the people on earth. The gods and goddesses who were responsible for creating life belonged to the Tutadananan, which was a supernatural race that lived in the other world but could interact with the human world when they saw fit. Typically, the Tudanan had a battle with the Formorians, another supernatural race that was considered to be responsible for all the bad things that happened in the world. In general, the deities of the Tudanan are divided into four main groups. One of these groups is made up of deities often seen in Celtic sites throughout Gaul. Other groups include those who live in the sea, those who live in the other world, and those who make up the vast majority of the stories we now understand as Irish mythology. Two most important gods from the Tudadananan were Lugh, who we know to be the important god in other parts of the Celtic world, and Dagda, who is often portrayed as a druid and a father figure. Typically, he is depicted as a large, bearded man who holds a club or a staff, which is supposed to hold magical powers. Danu is considered to be the mother of Tutadanan, making her one of the most important deities in the pantheon. However, little is known about Danu, and there are many different versions of her, making it difficult to know exactly what her role was in Irish mythology. The existence of a written Irish mythology is exciting because it gives us a glimpse in the pre-Roman and pre-Celtic religion. However, it would be incorrect to assume that the Irish mythology represents the religious practices of all Celts. As mentioned, Irish mythology was written down at a time when Christian monks were attempting to convert pagan Britain and Ireland, and there are also considerable similarities between the stories have in Irish mythology to those that come from the Greek mythology, suggesting they may have been simply borrowed and adapted by foreigners so as to make more sense of them. Nevertheless, the little we know about Irish mythology should remind us how different the Celts were from the people who came to occupy their land in the centuries after Celtic migrations. Much of the rest of what we know about the ancient Celts, Celtic religion, is frustrating to understand. The lack of written sources and the fact that the sources we do have were written by foreigners, mainly Romans, leaves us in the dark. Furthermore, because Celtic culture was largely absorbed into that of Rome by the first century, there's very little remaining oral tradition, meaning that we may never know for sure how the ancient Celts saw and understood the world. Nevertheless, based on the information we have, we can piece together at least a general understanding of the polytheistic religion that influenced people living as far apart as Britain and Bulgaria, as well as Spain and Turkey. So, I hope you enjoyed that, and I'm sorry if I butchered my pronunciations of any of the gods or any of the Irish terms. Next time, we'll go to look at Celtic art. Now, the sources for this, the Germanic people, their origin, expansion, and culture by Owen, the civilization of the steppes by Conrad, and the history of the barbarians, which is a whole series on different groups, and this would, of course, be the Celt version. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.